Ray Ferraro joins us. We get set for the NHL playoffs. Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everything there?
Everything?
Season's over.
Season is over, and I said it off the top of the show. The Oilers organization couldn't have asked for a better way to finish the season because their fans connected to their team in a way that they hadn't felt in probably 8 years.
Well, unfortunately, it's a goodbye.
Yeah.
Right, that does it. And, you know, they're in almost this state of, like, inertia right now. Like, it just kind of floats. You know, like, a couple years, it's been really exciting to get a top pick in the draft. Is anybody excited about having a top pick in the draft anymore? You know, it's like, no, we don't want the top pick anymore, or the top two picks, whatever it is. We want a better team. And, you know, you can celebrate the past, and you should in Ryan Smith's case, but, man, this is now time to go to work. And the next 6 or 7 weeks for teams that miss the playoffs is the time to set the foundation for everything you're going to do going forward, because nothing can happen until the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The only things that can happen are firings and hirings. You can't trade a player. You can't, you know, you can re-sign a guy, I guess, but you can't trade. You can't move people until the transactions won't be finalized till at the draft or just after the Stanley Cup final. So for Craig McTavish and the group there, I'm sure they have a plan of action, but they have to firm it up with who's available and who they might chase and who they might spend money on and who they might not spend money on. And but you're right, the connection to the team is you know, it was a wonderful night. It really was. And from the start to the finish, to the moment he left the ice, it was a great night.
Ray, I've had a lot of people texting me asking if you could elaborate on your comment on Thursday where you said, well, it might get worse before it gets better for the Oilers. Can it possibly get worse?
Sure it can. You know, there's a great saying, if you're in a hole, sometimes stop digging, because the only thing that happens is you get deeper. So just think, if they don't get better on defense, how are things going to get better?
No.
Like if they end up really young on the back end next year, well, that bodes well for the future. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be better next year. You know, I know people get all amped up about the end of the season, and, you know, Oscar Klefbom looked really good, and Marinson looked really good, and, you know, hey, Darnell Nurse is on the horizon, and you can't play three and you got Justin Schultz. You can't play four defensemen that are under 23 or 24 years old, or you're going to get steamrolled. As much as you want to talk about the, you know, the size problem they have up front, there's an experience issue on the blue line. And nobody knows if Victor Fast can hold a starting job, or nobody knows if Ben Scribbins can do that. I mean, they're better than where they were in goal, I would think, than they were a year ago with Dubnyk and LaBarbera. But, I mean, this isn't top 10 goaltending. It's adequate. But if you've got adequate goaltending and a really, really green defense, absolutely it can go backwards before it gets better. The problem is there's been 8 years of backwards. It's time, you know, the people want to go forward, and they should.
Yeah, they have to. And ultimately, it's going to be on the players, right? I understand they need more veterans here. That's not their fault. I think McTavish is going to have to try to bring in some proven NHL defensemen. I know everybody wants a top pair. I'm not sure you can get one, so you at least better get some proven NHL guys. And if your young kids outplay them and deserve to go up the ranks, great. But don't go into a season with all of the pressure on a young blue line because you're asking for trouble.
You're going to get crushed. I mean, the odds are telling you, and history tells you, that that's not going to work. So many young defensemen come out of junior, and they're just not ready. You look at the free agent that Minnesota signed this year, the Swedish defenseman, last year Detroit signed Danny DeKeyser. Those are college players. They're 23 years old. You know, they're more mature physically. They're, you know, Oscar Klefbom has got times when he looks like, hey, that kid could be a shutdown defenseman. And then there's other times you go, oh, my God, he's not 23 years old yet. And he's really in his first full year in North America because he missed most of last year. So the growing pains are inevitable, and they're inevitable for any young player. But if they want to get better, I'm convinced of this, Jason. If they want to get better, they're going to have to make a deal. If they want to get better now, they're going to have to make a deal that they're not comfortable with, and that would be moving some of their top six forwards. They might not want to do it, but it doesn't matter if you get 60 or 70 or 80 points and you're minus 20 and your team finishes 29th. Who cares? That's not the way to win, and it never will be the way to win. They have to be able to look at this and go, we are not constructed properly, and even if we bring in veterans, that doesn't make anybody taller or heavier. We have to change the construction of our top six, and if we can do that and make our defense a more experienced group, then we're moving the right way.
Ray Ferraro joins us, analyst for TSN. And that's the million-dollar question. You weigh it to say, okay, we've put in the growing pains now, and we can make a deal we're uncomfortable with now to be better that might hurt us down the road. Or do you just sit there and say, okay, as hard as it is, you got to remain patient, and maybe it takes another year or two?
Well, you could do that. But as I said, in a year or two, none of those guys are going to be taller or heavier.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. So to me, it's not about, it is a little bit about inexperience, because the game I did in that last week against Los Angeles, what that showed me is, I mean, and I know that wasn't a very good night for them, but that showed me, players that don't quite get it. They skate around their defensive zone. They're always looking to poke the puck by a defenseman because, hey, if we get it by him, we got a 2-on-1. Well, guess what? 95% of the time, you don't get it by him, and it stays in your zone. And they have a lot of players that think like that, and that may change. It may not change. But they have six forwards. They're going to, in my opinion, you have to move two of them, and you have to move them for a different ilk of player. If you do that, you're probably on the right road. You can be patient if you want. I say in a year or two, if you keep the team in the same construction, you're not further ahead. Not very much. I mean, heck, Jason, they score. I mean, what are they, 26th in offense?
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't. Their secondary scoring's almost nothing, and they don't get any goals from the back end, other than Schultz.
Wouldn't it be nuts? Like, just imagine if you kept four of those forwards. And you add a big center and a big winger to that top six. And then you add a guy on your third line that can get you 15 or 20. And you become faster. Well, now you got the makings of something. And it doesn't sound that hard, except you got to find the players. Like, I know everybody's, thinking about Aaron Ekblad as a draft choice. But the guy that interests me the most, really, aside from Ekblad for the Oilers, is Leon Draisaitl. He's big. He can move. He's a really good passer of the puck. I've seen him 2 years in a row at the World Junior Championships. And I know his general manager in Prince Albert very well, Bruno Campesi. And you bring up Leon Draisaitl's name to him, and it's like Bruno's talking about his son. He can't say enough good things about him, and he's big. And so I think now, gee, wouldn't that be an interesting fit if you add somebody like that and he's now stout enough to play alongside a Nugent Hopkins. You have a one and a two. And so if you're asking me to be patient for Draisaitl, absolutely I am. If you're asking me to be patient for the same six guys, I can't be. I know being undersized, there's certain guys I just had a miserable time playing against. I hated playing against Peter Stastny. He was 220 pounds. How was I going to play against him? I had to hope Ron Francis was healthy and played against him. That was my best way of playing against him.
Ray Ferraro joins us. Ray, let's go to the playoffs now. And I want to talk, start in the Western Conference. Colorado, Minnesota. Matt Duchene is out. Colorado ends up the number one seed in their division. A lot of people didn't think that was remotely possible even 6 weeks ago, but they had a great run. St. Louis tanked.
Me too. Hey, who
do you like out of those in those two series in the Pacific, Colorado, Mini, St. Louis, Chicago?
I like Colorado just by a little bit. I don't love Colorado's defense. I mean, I keep waiting for it to just implode, but it hasn't. I think they'll miss Matt Duchene a great deal, but I think they have an advantage up front on Minnesota's forwards. I like Minnesota's defense just a little bit different, or a little bit more than Colorado's. But if I was going to, there's something about Semyon Varlamov this year. It just makes me think it's his year to be great. He's had a fantastic year. And I don't know. Do you want to bet the house on Ilya Bryzgalov? Because I don't. So I've got Colorado in seven in that series. St. Louis and Chicago. This is the greatest surprise of a series that I just didn't think was possible. I think St. Louis will get. It looks like they're going to get Backes and Oshie back in this series, but I Chicago's getting back Kane and Taves. I think Chicago wins this in six games. I think St. Louis is going to have trouble scoring, and I think Chicago's Chicago's better set up with the lineup that they'll present than St. Louis.
Okay. And Anaheim, Dallas, San Jose, L.A. Kings.
I've got Anaheim over an inexperienced Dallas team. I think Dallas has had a terrific year, but Anaheim, I believe, will expose some of their youth, some of their inexperience on the blue line. I think that'll be the difference. I've got Anaheim actually in five in that one, and the other series is St. Louis or San Jose and L.A. 16 of the last 17 games in that series, the home team has won, which I just find just absolutely astounding. And so I'm going to pick San Jose in seven. I don't love Antti Niemi in goal. If I were coaching him, I'd watch him through my fingers most of the time. But I think San Jose's got better depth up front, more scoring, and they defend just as well as L.A. So I've got San Jose for that series in seven.
And quickly, who do you have making it all the way to the Cup final, East and West?
I've got in the West. I've got San Jose and Chicago in the West final, and I'm going back and forth, because I don't want to get fooled on San Jose for the 40th year in a row. but something tells me that they're going to win the West, so I'm going to stick with that, and I'll say San Jose, even though I think it's probably ridiculous. And I don't think anybody beats Boston in the East. I got Boston and the Rangers in the East, so it's Boston, San Jose, and I think Boston's going to win.
Well, Ray, we are agreeing, and you know what? It's funny. When I pick San Jose, I was like, gosh, I can't believe I'm an idiot, and I'm picking them again because they always screw me over. But I like the makeup of their team now, maybe better than ever. Niemi, he's won a cup before. I think he can play well enough. And because LA's offense just doesn't scare me enough, and if they get through the first round, then I think they can beat any other teams.
But don't you just hate yourself?
Yes, I do.
San Jose again?
Yeah, it's embarrassing, but yeah, I feel so. I'm exposing myself.
Yes, exactly. You're like, what am I doing? Everyone's going to know me again. I got to say this before I go. You mentioned about Ryan Smith, what he'll do after he's taken a year off. You mentioned.
Yeah.
I think at the end of that year, there is zero chance he stays away from the game.
Yeah, I would
agree.
Zero.
And if I could think of a position in an organization that I would want Ryan Smith to be, it would be in player development.
Yeah.
I would want him, you outlined the communication skills he has and how he can talk to guys. I always have associated Ryan as a rink rat, loves being around the rink, loves to be on the ice and loves to practice and loves everything about being a pro. And I think he could really be beneficial to their draft choices and to their kids in Oklahoma City. And that's a position that didn't exist 5 or 7 years ago. But when I think of it, I think Ryan Smith would be perfect for it.
Yeah. Well, it definitely would make sense in the future. It's good for him to take a year off from the game, I think, because I'm sure if you jump right back in sometimes for guys, it's almost like the void's even harder because you're still around it even though you're not in it.
Well, I saw the game on Saturday, and obviously I live in Vancouver, and I know Henrik Sedin really well, and it was zero surprise that he led his team back onto the ice to shake hands with him, and that speaks to A, his class, and B, the respect that Ryan had around the rink, and by the guys that played against him. But when you go right back into it, I think there's you maybe. you maybe grease the void a little bit. But I know the first year that I retired, Jason, it was now a long time ago, but Cammy and I went to a game, and we were in Vancouver, and when the players came out of the tunnel, it was early in the year, like October, maybe the first or second home game, and when they came out of the tunnel, I started to cry because I knew I'd never get to do that again,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's going to find it the same way. When he goes and watches those guys come out underneath the oil derrick, he's going to go, I never get to do that again. And it's going to be really hard for him because he just loves the game with every pore. And I love the game the same way. And I just think there's zero chance he'll stay away from the game. And somewhere he'll be a real asset. And I think he can be the best asset to those young players in the organization to have that resource to tap into.
One last one, Ray. Barry Trotz had an emotional goodbye. I was just reading online from Josh Cooper what Trotz had to say about his time with Nashville. Being there, basically, he's their only head coach. What direction do the Predators go in, and do you see Trotz being back in the NHL next year?
I think the Predators have to change the way a little bit they do things, and they might have to because there's some discussion of whether David Poile will continue on as the general manager. Remember, David got hit with a puck in the face, and has had some real serious vision problems. He was standing on the bench, and just a terrible, terrible thing to happen to a really, really nice man. And I think they go in a little bit different direction, a little bit different view. They need a new voice. I wouldn't be surprised if Dean Evason becomes the head coach. He's their head coach in Milwaukee. In the American Hockey League, he and Paul Fenton have known each other for a long, long time, and Dean's a very, very qualified coach, and he would view things a little bit differently and do things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And whether Barry wants to be in the NHL next year or not, I think that will be his choice. He's a really strong family man. He has got a real commitment to a family that's growing, and he has been the luckiest of coaches because he's got to live so long in one city, in Nashville. And if I'm Toronto or I'm Vancouver or I'm anybody else that's thinking about a head coach, I'm not going too far past Barry Trotz before I make my decision.
Ray, always good to catch up with you. Next year we might have to get you to come play in the Alzheimer Pro-Am tournament. It's an absolute beauty. It's loads of fun. So try to.
I would love to do that. And I'm available.
Nice. Well, I'll put you on the list. I'll talk to the organizers. We had Marty McSorley on our team this year. Great storyteller.
Now, I assume you have some beverages there?
Well, I'll tell you right now, that's pretty much a prerequisite for the Friday night draft, yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, good. Then that's usually what I charge. That's my fee.
Yeah, perfect. We'll have lots of those.
Okay, perfect.
All right, take her easy.